Good morning, council. This is the Hogan versus Hogan. We don't have everybody on board quite at this point, so give us a moment. We do now, I believe. So we'll introduce ourselves. I am Mike Hedekin, the Chief Justice, and then by seniority on the court will, each member of the court will introduce themselves.
Good morning. This is Judge Miller Lerman. Thank you.
William Castle. Good morning.
Stephanie Stacy. Good morning.
Jeff Long.
Jonathan Papik.
And John Friedenberg.
And council, Mr. Whelan, are you?
Yes, Your Honor, representing Appellee.
Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And Ms. McChesney, are you here?
Good morning, Mr. Chief Justice. Yes.
Very good. Do either council have any questions at this point in time?
I do not, Judge.
Thank you. And Mr. Whelan, I take it you have no questions either.
No, Your Honor. Sorry.
Very good. Appreciate that. Ms. McChesney, you may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, Chief Justice, Justices, opposing counsel. My name is Andrea Finnegan McChesney, and I appear here on behalf of the appellant, Ms. Brooke Hogan. At this time, I would like to reserve 2 minutes of rebuttal. The arguments herein can be narrowed down to three main issues. One being, did the party stipulated order of modification and parenting plan from April 2019 expressly state, as we only contend it in not only the order, but again in the parenting plan, that Nebraska law continued to apply despite the allowance for and provisions regarding the parties to reside with the children in other states and elsewhere in Nebraska? Secondly, did the court opinion that the party's intentions allow a relinquishment of jurisdiction despite language to the contrary, and given appellee failed to assert any affirmative defenses thereby waiving them? And Nebraska retained exclusive continuing jurisdiction given the undisputed fact that the parties and the children remained in Nebraska until mid-August of 2019, continue to have significant contacts with the state of Nebraska, and that appellant's complaint to modify was filed well within the requisite 6 months pursuant to Nebraska law, the UCCJEAA, and the NCCJA. Nebraska revised statute 43-1239 expressly outlines how Nebraska maintains exclusive continuing jurisdiction on matters such as the Hogans and their child support or child custody determination. For Nebraska to lose its exclusive continuing jurisdiction, there must be a determination under relevant here are subsections of that statute that one, neither the child nor the parent, and one parent nor the child and a person acting as a parent have significant connection with the state, and that substantial evidence is no longer available in this state concerning the child's care, protection, training, and personal relationships. The lower court failed to determine this because the facts do not support such a finding. In fact,
Did the district court rely on 43-1239A1 or 43-1239A2?
Judge, and that's a good question, because if you look in that order of January of 2020, paragraph 4, there's no determination what it relied upon. It just says that when the parties moved to Arizona with the minor children, they relinquished jurisdiction in Nebraska, which I don't believe is possible.
Well, is that an implicit finding under 43-1239A2 that refers to a determination that the child's parents, and any person acting as a parent do not presently reside in this state?
Well, the facts are that that's not what it was. The facts were that they continued to maintain domicile in the state of Nebraska and had separate residences, not only in Nebraska, but in Arizona, and the facts showed that the children had been in the state of Nebraska consistently for and maintained their residency in Nebraska for the prior 6 months, so you can't get around that fact. The lower court only determined that the parties intended.
Ma'am, let me interrupt just if I may, because I think you said there was no indication of the statute upon which the court relied. However, would you refer to paragraph 6?
And Judge, I was going to, I was just going to address that. It looks like it, and the court later on its order said that it no longer had it pursuant to subsection A2, which is erroneous because there's no other state that can say that it had the significant context. The children had been here in the 6 months prior. There's no other state, whether it's Arizona or Maine or anywhere else. Nebraska continued to have those exclusive and significant contexts.
But the significant context
which we refer uses the word reside rather than domicile. So can you reside in more than one place?
Yes, Judge, and that's what the intent of that stipulated order of modification and parenting plan, that consent modification, showed that Nebraska law continued to apply. That was the intent of the parties, knowing that they could go to a different state, or it provided a scenario for what would happen if they would move within the state as well. There were conditions.
I beg your pardon then. If Nebraska law applies, would that include Nebraska Revised Statute 43-1239-A2? That's Nebraska law.
It does, but the significant contacts, Judge, continue to be with Nebraska. There's no other state that can say that they are.
What do significant contacts have to do with 43-1239-A2? Do those words appear in 43-1239-A2?
They do not, Judge. And what the significant contacts are, I think that the statute that allows that is that these children, there's no other state that would have jurisdiction over these matters. And the facts that appellee provided a voluntary appearance to the same, I think bolsters the argument that they conceded, and he knew that Nebraska had continuing exclusive jurisdiction. It's disingenuous to say anything other, because the long and short of it is appellant gave her notice of intent to move as provided in that stipulated order of modification and parenting plan of April 2019. And there were conditions concerning Nebraska law pertaining to future events in contemplation of the parties moving to Arizona or any other state. I think Nebraska Revised Statute 43-121A, in that Nebraska court has the jurisdiction to modify a custody determination if Nebraska is the home state of the child at the time of the commencement of the proceeding, or it had been the child's home state within 6 months before the commencement of the proceedings, and the child is absent from Nebraska because of his or her removal or retention. Home state means the state in which the child immediately preceding the time involved lived with his or her parents, a parent or a person acting as a parent, for at least 6 consecutive months. Periods of temporary absence of any of the named person are counted as part of that 6 month or other period, and that's from Paulson v. Paulson. There's no other state that other than Nebraska that can claim the children resided the requisite 6 months immediately preceding for at least 6 consecutive months. Arizona had limited connections at best, and those significant connections include the fact that Nebraska was the originating state, the guardian ad litem for the children, who had vital involvement in relationships with parties and the children is in Nebraska. The children continue to have their medical care providers and care in the state of Nebraska. All of the extended family resided in the state of Nebraska. The parties and children do not have any family in Arizona. Both parents continue to maintain their residences in Nebraska. And both parties maintain their motor vehicle licenses and registrations in Nebraska.
Council,
happily purchased.
Council, aren't both parents and the children in Arizona at the time modification is filed?
They they went back and forth between Arizona and Nebraska, Judge.
Well, they had purchased homes, and the kids were attending school in Arizona.
In April 7th, yes. And in April, in August, in mid-August, they had gone down to Arizona. And no more than a little bit more than a month and a half, the complaint to modify. So there's no other state that has the jurisdiction over those children. So there's 6 months where they've been here. And that requisite 6 months is something that's important to consider.
The 6 months that you're referring to is from 43-12-38?
6 months is with regard. The 6 months is with regard to that and the UCCJEA requirements as well, Justice Papik.
Does that pertain to initial child custody determinations?
Well, I think our issue is the exclusive and continuing jurisdiction. There was no finding that there wasn't continuing exclusive jurisdiction to that.
I think the question is that your reliance on 1238 is with respect to initial determinations. That's where the 6 month language is, and that evidently you would like to import that into the 1239 setting. Is that what you want to do?
And I believe that that's secondary to the fact that the parties in their stipulated order of modification and parenting plan specifically stated that Nebraska law will continue to apply. No other in paragraph 10 of the order of modification goes along with paragraph 20. It says nothing contained herein shall in any way alter existing Nebraska law concerning the requirements. And the long and short of it is, like I said earlier, that they were here. The consent modification was that Nebraska law would continue to apply, that jurisdiction would remain in Nebraska despite the provisions and conditions that in this consent modification that allowed them to go to any other state. It wasn't just Arizona. It speaks of states, Arizona, and including the state of Nebraska.
Ms. McChesney, I think your time is up. So, Mr. Whalen, good morning to you. You may proceed.
Good morning, Chief Justice and other members of the court. My name is Dennis Whalen, and I'm here on behalf of the appellee, Mr. Nicholas Hogan. Before I jump into the meat of the assignments of error, I just want to clean up one argument that keeps being made, is that the parenting plan somehow referenced that Nebraska law will apply throughout these proceedings. Nebraska law does apply. The UCCJEA has been adopted by all the courts. But the parenting plan that Ms. McChesney is referencing, it is limited to the requirements of removal. That's all the paragraph references, is that Nebraska law with respect to removal shall apply in the future. Jumping into the assignments of error, I believe that there's a lot of back and forth and confusion on the significant connections versus residency that's required for continuing exclusive jurisdiction. And statute 43-1239 that governs exclusive continuing jurisdiction, it's an either or statute. The court has exclusive jurisdiction until either of these situations occurs. And appellant is really focusing on the significant connections. However, she's neglecting to focus on subsection 2, which says that when the parties and the minor children leave the state of Nebraska, the court no longer has exclusive jurisdiction. And that's exactly what the district court found. There's plenty of evidence submitted at the hearing with respect to the residency of the parties. The procedural history shows the intent of the parties to relocate to the state of Arizona. There was a decree entered in February of 2019 Within 2 months, in April of 2019, the parties filed a joint motion complaint to modify, seeking relocation of the parties and the children to Arizona. That joint complaint was signed off on by the appellant and appellant's attorney. That same day, a stipulation allowing for the removal of the children to the state of Arizona was filed, again approved by appellant and appellant's attorney. It was the intent of the parties in April 2019 to move to Arizona. And the legitimate reasons that they listed for removal was education for the children and business opportunities. The parties followed through with their intentions, and the evidence that was submitted to the court supports that. The parties both purchased houses in Arizona. The children were enrolled in school, a year-long program in Arizona. The parties resided together and were exercising a joint custody visitation schedule in Arizona. The intent is clear, and I think the evidence is clear. The parties resided in Arizona. So I think the district court was correct in finding that he no longer had exclusive continuing jurisdiction. Following up on that finding, he conferred with the Arizona court where the decree and order of modification were registered. He followed up with the district court and they conferred and they evaluated the factors of the UCC, JEA, and they determined that Arizona was the proper forum to hear this matter. Addressing the second assignment of error raised, I think it's the case law is quite clear that subject matter jurisdiction cannot be waived. Can't be waived by entering a voluntary appearance. Mr. Hogan properly brought subject matter jurisdiction to the court in his motion to dismiss. So I think that the second assignment of error by appellant is a misstatement of the law and the facts of this case. Unless the court has other questions, I think the evidence is clear that there is no continuous exclusive jurisdiction here in Nebraska, and the district court properly took the next step to confer with the Arizona court and found that the Arizona court was the proper court to hear this matter.
Mr. Whalen, you're not contending that the change of residence in and of itself ended Nebraska's continuing exclusive jurisdiction. It was the change in residence coupled with a determination by either the Nebraska court or the Arizona court recognizing the change in residence. That's your contention, right?
That's correct, Your Honor.
May I direct your attention to paragraph 6 of the order, please?
Yes.
So this is what I may find curious, but maybe you can help me out. We referred to this paragraph previously, and the judge in this case in Nebraska says, the court finds that defendant's motion to dismiss should be granted and finds that Arizona has continuing exclusive jurisdiction over child custody determination and Nebraska no longer has continuing exclusive under 1239A2. So I'm wondering if that characterization of what Arizona obtained is a little exaggerated.
I can't speak directly for the Arizona court. I would surmise that the Arizona court, when they conferred with the Nebraska court in January of 2020, made a determination that at that point in time, Arizona was now the home state for the children, having been there for 6 months. But the record's unclear as to exactly why the Arizona court found that.
So I guess my question might be, would it be more correct, or perhaps I'm wrong, to say Arizona is the proper jurisdiction and Nebraska no longer has exclusive jurisdiction?
I think that would be a fair statement. Your Honor.
And proper is used elsewhere in the order, isn't it?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Thank you.
If there are no further questions, members of the court, I'd ask that you affirm the district court's decision to dismiss the plaintiff's complaint to modify, and I appreciate everyone's time.
Mr. Whalen, thank you very much. Do we have any time for rebuttal? There is no time for rebuttal, counsel. So again, thank you very much, and we will go on to the next case of the day, which is Davis versus counsel. Thank you and goodbye.
Thank you.